Well, open your Bible with me now, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And this morning I want to draw your attention to one verse, really, and one thought, one simple way to live the Christian life, or one simple way, at least, to think about the Christian life. The Christian life is not complicated. We make it complicated. With all of our complexities and all of our individualities and all of our unique personalities and, of course, with all of the sophistication and technology and everything else that we have today, we kind of lose sight of the simplicity of it. It really comes down to a very simple concept. The Christian life is all about following. That's really all it is, following. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, we don't so much have a law to obey as a Christ to follow. Christians are followers. We've found someone to follow, and we're following him. That's all. That's our life. We aren't trying to reinvent ourselves. We aren't trying to be creative. We aren't trying to do something no one has ever done. We aren't trying to blaze our own trail. We aren't trying to think outside the box. We aren't trying to be independent. Our focus is on one person, Jesus Christ, and one pursuit, following him. We understand what sin is. Sin is going our own way. Doing our own thing in defiance, in rebellion against God. That's what we have been saved from. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned aside to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Jesus died because of our self-willed, wayward, rebellious, independent streak. He was pierced through for our what? Our transgressions, our relentless wandering away from the way, his way. That's the essence of our sin, going astray, wandering away from God and his way for us, his will for us, his path for us, doing our own thing instead of the thing God created us to do and designed us to do. Jesus died to save us from that and turn us from our own way to his way. And so, in the simplest of terms, we are no longer wanderers, but followers. And that's the Christian life. It's following Christ. That is most certainly how Jesus presented it. Follow me, take up your cross and follow me. Crowds of people thronged around him everywhere he went, and he would turn repeatedly and say to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He said that to Peter and Andrew, follow me and I will make you something you aren't. I will make you fishers of men. He said that to James and to John and to Philip and to Matthew, follow me. And that's what his disciples did. That's what all true believers do. That is the call of Christ, not just to come to him, but to follow him. That's the call to Christianity, not just to believe something, but to follow someone. And so I could ask you this morning, are you today following Christ? Is that really what your life is? Is that the intent and purpose and focus of your life? Because that's what it means to be a Christian. In fact, early Christians, even before they were called Christians, were called followers of the way. Right? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we're following him. We're following his way. Now that all sounds easy enough, doesn't it? Just follow Jesus. Just follow Christ. How many of you have found that to be easy? It's not easy. And so that is why we need godly examples to follow. Sometimes it's easier to follow those who follow Christ than to follow Christ, right? I mean, he's not here. We can't see him and watch him and grab a hold of him and be led by him and watch him. But we can follow those who follow him. And that is precisely the exhortation of this verse in Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. So I want to call your attention to that one idea, following. Join in following my example. Observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Living in a day when "will you follow me on Twitter" is actually a thing. We need to talk about this. Who are you following? The Christian life does come down in a very practical and tangible way to following. To follow Christ, we must follow those who follow Christ. You say, well, what all does that entail? Well, I think this verse unpacks it for us. Four components, or really four words that I want to give you. Number one, following calls for imitation. Imitation. He says, brethren, join in following my example. And actually, it's become imitators together of me. Become imitators together of me. Mimetize, the Greek word. Mimic. Imitate. Mime. So the idea is he's calling them to copy him. Copy me. That's what he's saying. Imitate me. Follow the example I have set for you. Don't do something new. Don't do something different. Don't do something unique that no Christian has ever done. Copy me. Follow me. Imitate me. Christianity is for copycats. Be a copycat. Actually, the very name Christian implies that. Do you realize it? Why were they called Christians? Little copycats of Christ. That's what they meant. We are all just copying Christ. And Paul is saying, I can make that really practical for you. Just copy me. Follow me. You've seen how I lived. Imitate that. Follow that. Now, in particular, what does he have in mind? Imitate what? My hairstyle? What? Can we get an usher down here on aisle one? We got a cleanup on aisle one here. Ha! You don't know what Paul's hairstyle was like. Wow. So no, not my hairstyle. What then? Well, everything that he's been talking about in this context, right? In Philippians 3, verse 16. Follow my example of living by the same standard to which we have attained. In other words, like a soldier, walk in line, follow orders. Or verse 15, copy my attitude of being teachable, responding to reproof, correction from God. Or verse 14, imitate my persistence in pressing on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Mimic the humility, verse 13, of I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. And the focus, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead. Or verses 8 through 11, imitate the passion to know Christ, to be found in Him, to be clothed in His righteousness alone, following the pattern of His death and resurrection and sharing in the fellowship of His sufferings. Imitate that. Or even verses 4 to 7, follow the example of my repentance and my conversion. Make a clean break with your past life. You were an idolater. You were trusting in yourself, your goodness, your ability, your morality. See all of that for what it is, rubbish. Put it all where it belongs, in the loss column. And stop going back and forth between those two as if they're both equally good options. Christ is all now. He's your life. Pursue Him. Prize Him with all your heart. Imitate that. That's what He's saying. That's what I'm doing. Do what I'm doing. In chapter 4, verse 9, he says this, "The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." So he's calling for them to imitate him and to copy him. This was consistently Paul's appeal to believers and churches in his influence. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, for example, he says, "I do not write these things," verse 14 of chapter 4, "I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me. And for this reason I've sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church." Be imitators of me. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." And that's the key. See, the reason we can follow Him is because of who He's following. We're all trying to follow Christ. How do I do that? Follow someone like Paul who's following Christ. In 2 Thessalonians, I think it is, chapter 3, he says this to the church there. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 7, "You yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you or eat anyone's bread without paying for it," and so on. Verse 9, "Not because we do not have the right to do this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you so that you would follow our example." Follow our example. That's the refrain. The Christian life is imitation. I mean, that's the highest form of flattery, isn't it? We honor Christ by imitating Him, and we honor those who have led us and fed us and discipled us and taught us by imitating them as well. Paul's highest praise was for those who did that. The Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 1, 6, "You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the other believers in Macedonia and Achaia." Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:10, "While so many other people oppose the truth and reject the faith, you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, sufferings." Talk about imitation. That's imitation. You followed me all the way down to my persecutions and sufferings. But the church in Thessalonica was a model church. Why were they? Because they followed Paul. Timothy was a model disciple. Why? He followed Paul. Do you realize that all great men, all great people are essentially followers? I mean, I think if you could survey all the great champions of the faith, all the greatest Christians, pastors, missionaries, I think what you would find is they all had one person they were trying to imitate. I mean, their life was focused like that, where they could just say, okay, who's a model? I'm going to follow them. R.C. Sproul basically invested his life in understanding Martin Luther. John Piper set out to understand the mind of Jonathan Edwards. John MacArthur basically just tried to follow the ministry of Martin Lloyd-Jones. I mean, that's how it is. Originality is overrated. And frankly, with 2,000 plus years of Christianity and church history, originality is not even possible, is it? Or necessary? No, great thinkers today, great teachers, great writers, are really just great readers. The great leaders of today are really just good at following. And the same applies to you and to me. If you want to really follow Christ, find someone who really follows Christ and follow them. Imitation. Second word, cooperation. Because following calls for cooperation too. This compound verb again, sumimetai. Sumimetai. It's the word, it's the verb for imitate with the prefix soon, which means together with. Be imitators of me together with. That's what he's saying. Be imitators of me together with. Together with whom? Together with other believers who are imitating me. That's what he's saying. Follow me with others who are following me. So in other words, following Christ is a group activity. Do you see that? We do not do it alone, or at least very well. We do it together with. Our fellowship is a fellowship, right? We're following Christ together with others who are following Christ. And that brings into prominence the importance of this, right? The importance of the church and Christian fellowship and community. You know, I was thinking about this week. Never in the history of the church have there been so many books written on the importance of the church. Why is that? Because they weren't needed before now. And yet, in the day in which we live, in the last 10, 20, 30 years, we've had to convince people, even Christian people, to go to church. Like, church is important. And so you have all these books that have come out that are trying to deal with that whole thing. You know, like Josh Harris's book, Stop Dating the Church. Stop this perpetual dating mode of still checking the church out, not sure yet whether I want a permanent relationship or not. But you have all the other genre of, you know, I love Jesus, it's just the church I can't stand kind of motif. And that is a false dichotomy, because the church is the body of Christ. He is the head of the church. So you can't separate those. You can't be attached to Christ and not attached to the body of Christ. And coming to Christ throughout the history of Christianity has always meant coming into the church and joining the local community of other followers of Christ and identifying with them through baptism and then following and worshiping and serving and witnessing of Christ together with all of them. There's no other way to do it. So don't tell me you're following Christ, but you're not serious about the church. Don't tell me how intimate your relationship with Jesus is and you don't have any deep relationships with other Christians in the church. You can't follow Christ apart from, away from. You follow Christ together with others. It's a group activity. And some of you need to find your group. Some of you need to find a different group. People that actually are following Christ. But it is a group function, a group activity. And there's no substitute for that, for the encouragement, the accountability. You miss out on all the one another's if you're not a part of that. And the idea that you could follow Christ or really be a Christian or really be consistent in pursuing Christ, like Paul is talking about here in Philippians 3, apart from the fellowship and the companionship of other Christians, is really absurd. It's arrogant, foolish. It's unheard of biblically. It's foreign to New Testament Christianity. So stop wishing you were a better Christian and find a better Christian and follow them. Cooperation. Then thirdly, observation. He says, join in following my example and observe. The verb means to look. Okay? See. It's an imperative. Look. Focus on. Pay attention. Take note. Watch. Those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Fix your eyes on them. Focus on them. So here's a really practical way to live the Christian life and follow Christ. Focus on those who follow the pattern of Christ-likeness. Observe those who conduct themselves in a godly way, in a Christ-like way, and imitate them. Again, Philippians 4:9, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice. So the implication is you've seen my life. You've seen how I lived among you. Do that. Follow that. The 1 Thessalonians 5:12, he says, that you know, the word is appreciate, or the translation is appreciate, but it's that you know those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. You have to know them and observe them in order to follow them. So that would be a question for you. Are you close enough to anyone? Are you close enough to a spiritual leader or another believer or someone who's more mature than you in Christ? Are you close enough with anyone to observe their life so that you may mimic how they live? This imitation demands that. It demands observation, which demands relationships, life on life, all of us spending time together. And that's something we're really trying to emphasize in our church right now, discipleship relationships. Each of us connecting with another person for the sake of mutual edification and growth. Ladies with other ladies, men with other men. Being intentional about that. Cultivating relationships so that we can observe and learn from one another and encourage each other to do what we've been learning here in Philippians 3, pursue Christ-likeness. You know, I think we all do this kind of naturally, but do you realize it really is an obligation and a responsibility that we all have? We have a responsibility to learn by observation. God expects you to do that. God expects you to be observant. To see, to look, to watch what other people do and do that or don't do that. 1 Corinthians 10, Paul uses the children of Israel in the wilderness as a negative example. You know all about their idolatry and immorality and grumbling and all of that. These things happen to them as an example for us. We might learn from their instruction not to do that. We must learn by observation, right? We see what they did. We don't do that. Romans 16:17, he says, I urge you, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you've learned and turn away from them. 2 Thessalonians 3:14, if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him so that he may be put to shame. So if we're to keep our eye on those we're not to follow, how much more on those we are to follow? So that we know who to follow and who not to follow. Well, that calls for a fourth component, the fourth word, discrimination. He says, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. And then the contrast, for many walk, of whom I often told you and tell you now, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross. So following demands discrimination also, demands discernment, judgment. Not just following blindly anyone who will lead you. Not just following blindly anyone who comes along with a strong, domineering personality and takes over. No, you're looking for someone specific to follow. Those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. The Apostle Paul, the other apostles, the other associates with him, like Timothy and Epaphroditus, established a pattern. The word is a type, tupos. It has to do with a mold, an original from which all the others were made, right? A mold from which all the others are cast. And so he's talking about a pattern, the pattern you have in us. And that was a pattern of obedience, a pattern of faithfulness, a pattern of doctrine, a pattern of ministry, a pattern of work ethic. All these things are a part of that pattern. Look for people who follow that and follow them. In 2 Timothy 3:13, he mentions again Timothy. Evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, he says. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you've learned them. And how that even from childhood you've known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ, and so on. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable. So there's the pattern. Scripture lays out the pattern. You've known it from childhood. Remembering then who you learned it from, continue in it. Continue in the things you've learned. Don't forsake the things you've learned. It's sad to me to see so many of our young people doing that, wandering away from the faith. Our own kids growing up in church, hearing the gospel, knowing the truth, and don't stick to it. And Paul is saying, in a sense, that's on you, young people. That's on you. You have the responsibility to continue in the things that you have learned. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 13, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. That's on you, your responsibility to do that by the power of the Spirit. So we have a responsibility to be discerning, to be discriminating, to follow those who follow this pattern of sound doctrine, sound living, to mimic that. And then in Hebrews, just a couple of verses here I want to mention. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Actually, pick it up in verse 11. We desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So there you go. Who are we to imitate? Those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, the tendency today is to find someone new and provocative and cool and relevant to follow. And the writer of Hebrews says, I'll tell you who to look for. Look for someone who has been faithful. Look for someone who has endured. Look for someone who just has a patient, persistent, steady faith over the long haul. They've been through it. They're not a Johnny-come-lately. They've lived this Christian life. They've gone through all kinds of hardships in life. They're well acquainted with how difficult it is to be faithful and following Christ. Find someone like that who is a model of patience and faith and imitate them. And then in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Sure, why wouldn't you? Imitate their faith. Verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them. They keep watch over your souls, and so on. So, be discriminating. I'm going to follow Christ. Well, how am I going to do that? I'm going to follow those who are following Him. Realizing that there are many who are not doing that. There are many who are enemies of the cross of Christ. Find someone who's serious about following Christ and follow them. Imitate their faith. I'm so thankful for the ministry of Steve Lawson. He is not only a very capable preacher, but has become a prolific author as well. And he's written this series. Some of you have seen it. It's called A Long Line of Godly Men. It's two big volumes now, but he just sort of traces this long line of godly men from Moses all through Scripture and then into church history, from early church history on to the present time, tracing this path, this well-worn path of sound doctrine, doctrines of grace, he calls them. And it's a way of saying to the younger generations today, look, there is a path. You know, follow it. You're going to follow somebody. Make sure you're following the right people. If you're going to be standing in a long line, make sure it's the right line. A long line of godly men. And that's essentially what Paul is saying here to these dear saints in Philippi. You know, you're surrounded by all kinds of isms and schisms, just as we are today, surrounded by everything from soup to nuts. Who are you going to follow? Be discerning. Make sure you're following those who are truly following Christ. And what does that come down to, really, in the most practical terms? Imitation? Cooperation? Observation? And discrimination? Which really, I'll give you another one. It comes down to humiliation. Are you humble enough to be a follower? Are you humble enough to follow somebody? Or are you humble enough to admit that you need help? You need an example. You need a pattern. You need a flesh and blood person that you can watch and talk to and hang on to. We all need that. Some of us are too proud to follow. We're too proud to follow anybody. Some of you are wiser in your own eyes than seven men who can give a discreet answer. It's true. I mean, some of you are too stubborn to admit you don't know what you're doing. Just tell somebody, I don't know what I'm doing. Will you help me? You know, you're lost and you're too proud to stop and ask somebody for directions. Well, following Christ for you really comes down then to humbling yourself and seeking out another Christian who follows Christ, deepening your relationship with them, developing a discipleship relationship with them, and learning from them and following their example. Do that. Just do that. That is how we follow Christ. We follow those who follow Christ. Our prayer room is open out the back, down the hall to the right. If you want to talk with someone or pray with someone about any of these things you've heard, we'd love to do that. We invite you there. Someone will be there to to help you. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the call to follow Christ. Thank you for the body of Christ, so many other believers in our lives, people around us to encourage us, to hold us up, to keep us moving forward. Father, deepen our relationships in this church so that we're not just a fellowship, but indeed a followship, pursuing Christ's likeness together with one another. We ask this in Jesus' name and for His honor and glory. Amen.